Overlooking Phoenix, from high above in the Star Worldwide Network studios, Badge Boys. Stories, insight, guests, and true blue humor with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. And now, here they are, the Badge Boys.
Welcome back to another episode of the Badge Boys, where two cops talk to the community. I'm retired silent witness sergeant Darren Birch.
I'm retired Phoenix police officer Jason Schechterly.
And we have a very special superheroes special. We are going to have Kristen Rowan. She is the director of marketing for Fan Fusion. It's our version here in Phoenix of Comic-Con. After she talks about all things related to that event, which includes a event that occurred where we were lucky to get away without a horrific shooting, thanks to them and the Phoenix Police Department. Then, speaking of Phoenix Police Department, the next segment we're going to have is Sean Ravey. He is going to come in and talk about September superheroes. He's a child crimes detective and how that helps bridge that gap and empowers children that have been emotionally, physically, and sadly, sexually abused. And then the last segment will be Erica Cowell. She's going to come in with the Colton Cowell Foundation and talk about the Bat Cave, where children with, life-threatening conditions and just life-altering situations come in and get to ride around in the Batmobile. So that's going to be a very special superhero special. So stay tuned, stay informed, and most of all, you're going to be entertained.
Come right back.
More stories, inside guests, and true blue humor coming up on Batch Boys. We'll be back right after this.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Move over, AZ. Arizona's move over law requires you to move over or slow down when you drive past any vehicle pulled over with flashing lights. Remember, every vehicle, every time. Move over, AZ.
Sponsored by ADA in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Badge Boys with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Now, back to the Badge Boys.
Welcome back. I have a very special guest, Kristen Rowan. She is the director of marketing for Fan Fusion, and which is tomorrow. And Kristen, you have to be so busy. You took time out of your schedule to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Now, tell me about Fan Fusion, as if I don't know because I'm going to be there. But tell me about, what is Fan Fusion?
Fan Fusion is a comic book, pop culture, fantasy, fandom event. It's 4 days of fun and excitement and cosplay and comic books and panels and parties, and it's a 4-day event that has a little something for everybody.
You know, for all those out there listening, it's all fun, it's great, it's about superheroes, it's about getting your geek on, it's all these great things. But there was an event, and unfortunately bad guys can sometimes ruin a good thing. Having gone to Comic Cons around the country, I've seen all sorts of these fake weapons and stuff, and I've always wondered, wow, that could go bad so quickly. Can you tell us a little bit about an incident that occurred that, thankfully, with the Phoenix Police Department and your own security, was able to avert a horrific, horrific shooting?
Absolutely, it happened in our opening day of our 2017 event. We had a cosplayer come. Who looked like he was dressed like the Punisher. Unfortunately, the weapons that he brought in were real. We were alerted through a social media page. He had posted something on his social media page. He was friends with somebody who is very familiar with the Comic-Con world and the comic convention industry. She alerted a friend of hers in the police department. The Phoenix Police Department acted very, very quickly. From the first moment he walked in the door to the moment he was escorted out was under 6 minutes. He never had a chance to draw a weapon. We are so grateful to the Phoenix Police Department for everything that they did to make sure that that incident was as small of an incident as it was. Unfortunately, it's just something that happens now, especially with these larger events. We see it a lot. It has changed pretty much everything that we do on site. It's changed our security protocol. It has changed our prop policy. It has changed how we prepare and communicate for the event. It's different for us because we love the community and we know that there are so many good-hearted geeks that come out to our event, and you know, we love them all. But it has changed how we look at how we set things up.
You know, I hate to say it, a lot of good came from this because it would just take one bad guy to look at this, oh my gosh, perfect arena for him to bring in a gun, put on some little mask, and then wreak havoc. So it really has changed for the better. Would you agree?
I think so. I think the incident made it so that we're just more aware of what could happen. And we take every step that we can to prevent any of that from happening again. We have more security on site. We have multiple security teams and work much more heavily with the Phoenix Police Department every year to do threat assessments and make sure that we're covering everything that we can think of.
Now, as far as the scope of the event, we've talked about all the fun stuff, but can you talk about how big of an undertaking this is and how the money comes in, how nonprofits are involved? Can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure. How big it is in scope as far as how long it takes to put it on. To give you an idea, we are opening days tomorrow morning. We started planning the 2020 show about a month ago.
Wow. Wow. Over a year in advance.
Have you done the show on there? Already planning next year?
We're already working on it. It takes that long. We spent a lot of time working on the setup, the security, the new events. We start planning new events to have every year. We start planning all of the communication that we will have with our fans. It's huge.
Guest invites, is that included?
Guest invites will start probably in October for the 2020 show.
And not to get ahead of myself, because I still want to talk about how you help out nonprofits, how you help out the community, but some of the guests that will be here tomorrow and next day, can we talk a little about that?
Sure. Our celebrity guests primarily come Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So tomorrow we'll have a handful, but our comic creators will all be on site. All of our authors will be on site tomorrow. Friday, we will start welcoming our celebrity guests that include Elijah Wood, Jeff Goldblum, George Takei, Ray Park. We have more than 30 celebrity guests this year. So excited about the list that we have. The lineup is just amazing.
It really does, compare to the big Comic-Con events out there. I would say it's one of the biggest. Having traveled to a lot of them because of my book, it's huge.
It is. Size, as far as the footprint that we have, it is more than 600,000 square feet.
Wow. And how many guests will patronage at the event?
Attendees?
Yeah.
We expect somewhere around 65,000 individual unique attendees. Most of them come more than one day. The turnstile attendance is somewhere between 175 and 200,000 people.
Wow, 200,000 people. Wow. And now about the money, because it costs money to come to this event. You can buy things at the event. You got the vendors. And you also help nonprofits. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Obviously, it is an event that costs money. A lot of our attendees plan this either as a vacation or a staycation, coming in from out of town, getting hotels. We have more than 700 vendors who are currently setting up in the exhibitor hall as we speak. The hustle and bustle is well underway, getting all of their great wares out for you to come and take a look at. There are a few events that have an additional fee on top of the pass. We have some parties and events that also have a fee. So there's a lot of money changing hands. It costs a lot to put the show on. It costs a lot to just to make this happen every year. But one of the things that we do, as you mentioned, Darren, is we try to make part of that event very community-based, give back to the nonprofits and the agencies and the organizations that we work with. About half of our third floor exhibitor hall is filled with nonprofit costuming groups. Those are the Spider-Mans that you see window washing outside the children's hospital on news feeds. The Star Wars troopers that come around and visit. So we'll have those. We actually have more costuming groups than we've ever had before. So we're really excited about that. We host a blood drive on site every year. Vitalant is a partner. They are formerly United Blood Services. They'll be on site all 4 days running a blood drive, and you can sign up ahead of time either on our website or theirs, or sign up on site to give blood. We work with Kids Need to Read, which is our signature charity. We host several fundraising events during Fan Fusion for them. We have a charity poker tournament, a Saturday night rave that 100% of those proceeds go to Kids Need to Read. And we also have an entire section of the convention center dedicated to nonprofit companies. We have Arizona Building Families, the YMCA, the United States Navy, all coming out. The Phoenix Police Department recruiting company will also be on site. And we offer them that space as well to come out. We get so much from being part of the Phoenix community. We couldn't imagine doing this without giving back to those partners that work with us.
You know, I think there's a lot of people, you tell me what you think, Jason, that, you know, here, Fan Views and Comic-Con, those sort of things, have no idea how much it helps our community and all the stuff they do that puts into it.
Yeah, it's tremendous setup. I got to get out there. I've never been, you've traveled all over the country, and I've heard great things about these things. I got to get a little more involved because I want to see what it's like. But, yeah, it does bring things to the community because not only does it bring people together, gives people a chance to express themselves maybe in a way that we might do it privately behind closed doors.
They can get their geek on.
Yeah, exactly. but we're not out showing the world on a daily basis. And
well, we do have Deadpool sitting here, you know.
Yeah, yes, Robin, our producer, just thinks it's...
She wants to use Deadpool.
If
he is Deadpool. He's the real-life Deadpool.
Well, and if I could get the amount of followers and money that Ryan Reynolds has, I'd be much more happy. But, no, I think it's a fantastic – I'm all about community anyway, but this is a great way to just bring people together and for a common – you can have your differences, but you're there for a common reason, and that's the beauty of life right there.
And I think it's because you have such good-hearted individuals that come to this that just want to have fun, want to, you know, show off their wares, show off their really creative ability for this cosplay, which is a whole nother animal all entirely. That I think that's why we've gone so many years without a horrific incident or some type of incident, because it's just a lot of good people.
It really is. A few years ago, we adopted a tagline, a trademark tagline for our event, Discover Your Inner Geek. And it really speaks to what we as an event believe. And that is, one, that there's a geek in all of us. It's in there somewhere. You just have to find it. And two, that this is a place where people can go and be themselves. They can love what they love. They can be into anime. They can be into steampunk, comic books, fantasy, science fiction, all of those things, and it's okay because this is their world. Most of us who run Phoenix Fan Fusion grew up as geeks. We were sort of on the outside looking in. We all had our hidden comic book collections, and now this is something that's so mainstream, it's so popular, that the people who love these fandoms, the people who are passionate about what we do, they just want to come and express that. They want to be who they are. Yeah. They want to have an outlet for the cosplay and the, you know, and to kind of come together with other people like them who have the same fandoms and have the same passions. And all of that is just accepted as it is because we all grew up hiding in the basement playing D&D and you know, not letting people know. So it's this chance for us to really be able to express that. And sometimes you find a new fandom, and that's the whole point behind the Discover Your Inner Geek.
You know, go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, if you don't think that there's anything there for you, you're wrong. You're missing something.
Yeah, there is a guarantee.
You got to come check it out.
Especially my son does the cars. So they do, him and his friends are the ones that do the movie cars.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I really geek out even before I walk in to Fan Fusion is I get to see all these cool cars.
Right outside,
Yep, my son has the Paul Walker Eclipse that he did for you guys a few years ago. So,
About 8 years ago when I got involved as the Silent Witness Sergeant, because I kind of saw this untapped resource for Silent Witness, all these really good people. And superheroes is all about crime fighting.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
And I thought about... with Silent Witness, it's all about our anonymity, putting out information, solicit tips, get that information, having a voice, albeit silent, and thought, hey, this is a perfect superpower, the power of anonymity. And so I got involved with, at that time it was a different name, but Fan Fusion, and you had me doing a lot of the bullying awareness. You have a lot of breakout sessions. Can you talk about that, the education that you kind of provide to your attendees?
Sure. I mean, in addition to all of the fun events, the
thank you
trivia and game shows and dance-offs that we have, we do try to speak to some of those topics that the community wants. And the topics change every year. It really depends on what is relevant at the time. So we talk about minorities represented in comic books. We talk about the LGBT community represented in comic books. We talk about how bullying enters in.
Thank you.
We have a comic guest this year who is 12. She has written her own comic book. Absolutely amazing little girl, and the entire book is about how it feels to be in middle school and to be bullied and how to overcome that. And we are so excited to have her. Her name is Shelby Webb from Utah, and we are so excited to bring her in and have her panel on how comic books can help. You've got kids who are 10, 11, 12 years old dealing with things that, quite frankly, we did not deal with at that age.
Sure.
We didn't have social media. We didn't have cyberbullying. We didn't have all of this online stuff, chat groups that are bullying other people. We didn't deal with any of that. And to be able to speak to that in a very real and authentic way, the only way to do that is to bring in somebody who's doing it. And this girl is doing it. She's living through that middle school, you know, agony that we all went through, but with the cyberbullying and this bullying aspect on top of it. And I think that panel is just going to be amazing. This little girl is just absolutely incredible. But and of course, you can buy her comic book on site as well. She'll have a booth there as well. But we do. We try to bring in how empowerment in all aspects, whether it is women or minorities or the disabled or.
Or just a pale kid.
Or just a pale kid who's, you know, reading his comic books in his basement. You know, there is anonymity in being a superhero. It's a whole lot easier to be strong and empowered when you've got a mask and a cape. And we give people that. We give kids that. When you see a child light up because their favorite superhero has just walked in the door or they've run up to them and given them a hug or a high five, it just doesn't get any better than that, you know? But we do recognize that there are all of these sort of other hidden aspects of life and society kind of in general that we do address throughout the comic book and pop culture world. And those are very powerful educational panels that people attend.
If there's someone out there who's listening, hears this and wants to get involved, either because they want to attend or maybe they want to lecture, or maybe they have, is there somewhere they can go?
Sure. Our website, phoenixfanfusion.com, has lots and lots of information. Of course, our entire team is downtown on site setting up. So emails are a little sketchy right now, but there's a lot of information there. We also have an app that has an info page that has a lot on there. If you're looking to be involved, if a nonprofit wants to be involved and see what they can do with FanFusion, obviously with opening day being tomorrow, we don't have time to do that for this year, but for 2020, absolutely do.
Because this show is streaming, it'll be on forever.
Yeah, sure. So we have a contact form on the website that will go to Eva Moore, who is our Phoenix FanFusion Oracle. If you want to be involved, if your organization wants to come, one of the things I did not mention, two things I did not mention, we are hosting a food drive on site to benefit St. Vincent de Paul.
Awesome.
Yes.
They're doing giveaways on site all weekend long. If you bring a couple of non-perishable food items and drop those off, you'll be entered to win. One of the prizes is tickets to Phoenix Fan Fusion 2020. So it's a great cause for them. The other thing that we do for nonprofits is we donate passes to organizations across the valley. Make-A-Wish, Autism in Arizona, the YMCA, the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, the list goes on and on and on. If your organization is interested in bringing a group of people, contact us through that contact on the website for Eva, and we'll look at passes for 2020. We don't want these kids who light up when they see their heroes not be able to attend for whatever reason. So we do work with all of the nonprofits across the city to bring those kids in. We generally donate somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 passes to the event.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and it gets bigger and better every year. I'm here to attest.
Yeah, absolutely. We're excited. We've got some new stuff this year. We've got a lot. I think it's going to be of course I have to say that I think it's going to be a fantastic show.
But it's your job.
Looking around at what we're bringing in and who we're bringing in and the new things that we have coming in, we just couldn't be more excited. 2019 is going to be a fantastic year. We're looking forward to it. Passes are still available. You can buy them on site. The prices go up at midnight.
We
charge a little bit more at the door, so prices will go up in the morning. So get your passes today. PhoenixFanFusion.com and come down and join us. It's an experience like you will never have anywhere else.
And you mentioned a real quick story where you talked about kids, a little girl putting on a cape and a mask and that empowerment, and with anonymity she can be feel good and important. And our next guest after this segment is going to be Sean Ravey with the Phoenix Police Department Child Crimes Division. He is a child crimes detective who got involved with something perfect suited for Fan Fusion. It's September Superheroes. You'll be here after the break talking about that, so stay tuned.
More stories, inside guests, and true blue humor coming up on Batch Boys. We'll be back right after this.
Move over, AZ. Arizona's move over law requires you to move over or slow down when you drive past any vehicle pulled over with flashing lights. Remember, every vehicle, every time. Move over, AZ.
Sponsored by ADOT in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Batch Boys with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Now, back to the Batch Boys.
Welcome back to Batch Boys, everybody. I'm excited about this segment.
So what we have here is a buddy of mine, Sean Ravey. He is with the Phoenix Police Department Child Crimes Unit. And more importantly, or actually as important, he does something to help the children. It has a superheroes theme to it that I just absolutely love. And having worked in child crimes myself as a detective and then as a supervisor, I can't give you enough kudos, Sean. How long have you been in that unit?
Next month, it'll be 6 years.
That's amazing. Because as you know, preaching to choir, that's a difficult unit to work.
It's dark.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of sadness there. And so what I'm trying to do is bring a little light not only to the children we see, but it'll help me. It's cathartic for me as well.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because I was going to talk to you about that. As difficult and daunting as the investigations are dealing with all these sad crimes, because you're not just dealing with the sex crimes, which is horrific enough. You're dealing with the neglect. You're dealing with the physical abuse. You're dealing with all of it against children. But I can't help but think that you putting on these events, and we'll talk about that, with superheroes and fun and seeing all the laughter, that it's got to be therapeutic for you to allow you to continue your job because you're putting happiness back into the sad tank. Can you talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. 2015, I had been in the unit for 2 years. I'd probably investigated 300-400 cases. And it dawned on me rather quickly that I had these little kids for a very short time. And they were coming in confused, sad, afraid. And they were leaving confused, sad, and afraid. And I had an epiphany when I was interviewing a little boy that wasn't opening up to me. And I had no evidence other than what his statement would have been. There's no bio evidence. There's no witnesses, no video. And he just wasn't able to talk to me. So as a last-ditch effort, being a nerd as I am, I just asked him if he liked superheroes. Totally different kid. He sat up straight. We talked for 20 minutes about Iron Man and Spider-Man and the new Avengers movie had just come out, and he told me everything that happened to him after that because we connected. And I walked out.
He felt safe.
Yeah, he did. And because the problem also that people don't realize, I'm an adult interviewing a child who's been hurt by an adult.
Adult, absolutely.
And it's kind of hard for them to separate the two unless you really try hard to separate yourself from that. And we connected on that level of being
two geeks,
being and both excited about the new movie. Ant-Man had just come out. And then I walked out into the lobby of the Child Help Center and realized, you know, what a difference it might make if we put superhero posters and comic books in the lobby when these kids came in.
A very kind of modest effort, if you will, just put something to make them feel a little comfortable, but it's grown exponentially.
It really did. It went from comic books and posters to me thinking, well, how cool would it be to, as they leave, give them their favorite superhero action figure and t-shirt. And we decided to hold an event that September called Superhero September. We had retired police officers and firefighters dress up like superheroes, nothing fancy. Had the Batmobile from the Colton Cowell Foundation. And it turned into something way bigger than we anticipated. And we took a lot of items into the center that year, and it went from there. And this year is the fifth annual Superhero September. We've raised so much money and in-kind donations that the center couldn't hold it anymore.
And talk a little bit about the center, Child Help, the beneficiary of what you're doing, if you will.
What I do is, or what it is, it's a center where a family can bring their child who has been recently victimized. And within that center, we have Phoenix Children's Hospital. We have the Maricopa County Attorney's Office as an attorney there for us to talk about charging issues. We have victims' advocates that meet with the parents to give them proper guidance. We have mental health specialists. If a child is in dire need, they will talk to a mental health therapist. And we have 45 detectives from my unit, the Department of Child Safety and Office of Child Welfare Investigators, all in the same building.
Yeah, that multidisciplinary approach where the child goes to one location and we go to them.
Yes.
And how important is that?
Well, it's big because it also allows the child to only be interviewed once and not retell the horrible abuse that's happened to them. The doctors will watch it on closed circuit with the Department of Child Safety, the detective, the mental health therapist, the sergeants, the attorney. That way we're all hearing it and seeing it at the same time, and it's memorialized on a CD. And if the child needs services, they get it there. They get fed, they get clean clothes, and things of that nature. And the parents get some peace of mind knowing that they don't have to go all over the city to get this done, because this is the worst day of their lives. I mean, they have no idea. I mean,
they can't even fathom it, really.
They can, and nor can most. And a lot of people don't know or don't want to know about what goes on there. They just don't want to hear it. So what I decided to do was marry that horrible abuse with a topic people do like to go see and do, and that is to put the superheroes with them. And that's changed things.
And let's talk about that now. The superheroes, the event. You have something else new coming up?
I have a lot of new things coming up. And at the end of last year, we had taken in enough money and items that the Child Help Center just said we didn't have no place to store this anymore, and which is a good problem.
That's a great problem.
because the first couple of years, all we were able to do were action figures and T-shirts, and it made no sense to me to give an action figure to a child who hadn't eaten and had holes in their shoes. So what I wanted to do was raise enough to give them new shoes, new pants, diapers for their brother or sister, food, and things of that nature. So I really started to expand my efforts, and I decided to incorporate my superhero programs into a charitable foundation. I was taken on pro bono by a law firm downtown. We created a new name called Put on the Cape, a foundation for hope. It's a 501c3. I've got a logo and trademarks, and now I'm able to do events all over the state. And I've also have two events in Michigan coming up on September 7th,
wow,
which
I
is
didn't
my
know
hometown.
About that. Yeah. Oh, good for
it's
you.
It's my home. It's my home. My home state. So that was a goal of mine. May 18th, coming up here real quick, is our first
week.
It's next weekend. It's our first superhero 5K in Steel Indian School Park. We have 30 superheroes who are going to be all over the race route. We have 300 runners signed up already. We'll have vendors, live music. It's going to be a blast. And all proceeds from that event are going to go to the Child Advocacy Centers. And I want to raise money for all the advocacy centers in Arizona, not just the one in Central Phoenix. Because there's the centers, what people don't realize is centers don't have a budget for food and toys and clean clothing. That's all at the will of the people to give them. So I want to remove that burden. And I want to do enough things, raise enough notoriety and interest for people to want to give to my foundation, and I in turn can give it to all the advocacy centers in the state.
And, you know, we've known each other for a while. We didn't work together in child crimes.
No, we didn't.
But I had you on my radio show one time, and we were talking about this, and I was just falling in love. And one of the things that you really hit home with me, because I just wanted to talk, oh, my God, Sean, you're amazing. You're this. And you're like, nah, it takes a village. Tell me about the people that have helped you along this way.
I couldn't do what I do without synergy and people helping me. I'm just a guy from Michigan. You know, I'm a nerd.
You're a geek from Michigan.
I'm a geek from Michigan. I had an idea that other people said, you know what, that sounds really cool. How can we help you? And that's how you build anything. You need people to support and, not more importantly, believe in the vision and the message. And without people like Gus Matos, who started a
Heroes
group
United.
Called Heroes United Arizona, when I incorporated, I rolled Heroes United into my foundation, and Gus is the vice president of my board of directors and in charge of all events. Danielle Gilmore, who formerly worked at Child Help, has moved on. I retained her as my treasurer and secretary for my foundation. So the team is still intact, all the way up my chain of command. My lieutenant, my sergeant, my commander, the assistant chiefs are like go do what you do.
Total and blessing, carte blanche.
It's a wonderful thing. In fact, the community has resonated so much with it. I got a call yesterday from a doctor's office in Scottsdale. It's like, we'd love to sponsor your 5K if you'll take us. I'm like, oh, absolutely, I'll take you. So it's to the point people are contacting us, and we're actually having to turn down events. We're having to say, sorry, we're full. We don't have any openings, which, again, is a good problem to have. And we're growing, and with that are going to be growing pains, of course. We're sure. Only in our third month as a foundation. We've taken in a lot of funds already. Superhero September is going to be the fifth anniversary. It's going to be huge. We have our first charity golf outing on September 28th at the Legacy. And it's turned into what I envisioned in 2015.
It was a dream, wasn't it?
It was. It's something I wanted to do. Because you know the great line I always quote from Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. And when you earn that badge, you have a lot of power. But the responsibility can't stop from your day-to-day of being a police officer. You've got the power to impact a community when you do what you do. It gives a little credibility to what you do. And thankfully, people believed in me. And I just want to continue to make an effort to make people not only talk about child abuse, but come to our events. Because they come to the events and they don't know what we support. And once we tell them, their knees buckle. They have no idea at the magnitude. We had 8,500 kids through the Child Help Center last year, all victims
that
of abuse.
That many sad children.
And that's one center.
Thank you.
One. And so you see the crisis afoot with here. We have 5 kids a day die in the United States from child abuse. And people don't want to talk about that. But
It's a tough topic.
It is. It's a horrible topic. It's what nightmares are made of, the things that we see and do. And to come to an event and see professional costumed actors, your niece being one, you know, they're movie quality costumes, and they live the
class.
Part. And, you know, they're not for adults, because when for example, when an adult sees Santa Claus, they see a fat guy in a fake beard and a red coat. a child sees Santa Claus.
Yeah.
So when a child sees my Batman, who's 6'4", 220 pounds, in the bat suit, they see Batman.
Batman.
They see Superman, and they actually believe they're talking to and seeing, and they ask for autographs, and it's just absolutely insane how this thing has grown. And we were lucky enough to be at the Special Olympics last weekend. We were invited just out of the blue by the organizer had heard about us, and we brought 25 superheroes to the opening ceremonies last weekend. It was phenomenal.
And I love the idea that not only is it a great I don't want to say hook or carrot, but, you know, these great, fun superheroes. But there's a commonality, you know, and you talk a lot about that because you definitely know what you're talking about when it comes to comic books. You know, the story, the background behind Bruce Wayne and his sadness. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, superheroes rise up from tragedy. Peter Parker witnessed his uncle being killed. He was bullied relentlessly. He was a twerpy little teenage kid with acne. He was picked on constantly. When he got great power, he became Spider-Man and decided to use that power for good. Batman witnessed his parents die, and he used all of his efforts, money, and skills to become Batman. And that's what we want to show these little kids, that there's an inner hero inside of them. And that's why I named the foundation Put on the Cape, because once you put a cape on a little kid, it could be a bed sheet, and they think it's a superhero cape, and they'll act accordingly. I've seen it. You've seen it. I mean, it's just insane how these little kids suddenly become a hero. When you give them the action figure, you put on the shirt, you put on the mask and the cape, it just totally transforms them from that sad, broken little kid into a hero. And that's what we want to do. And if we can just change one life, that's a generation we've spared, because it is generational, sadly. And we have to break that cycle somehow. And this is the way I've decided to do it, and with the help of our community and our sponsors and my board and the people who have just said, what can I do for you? Like you. You know, come on my show and talk about what you do. I can't exist without that. And I just appreciate the support from everybody.
I love the empowerment you give these children with the fun, the smile you give them. And you talk a lot about this, and I love what you talk about, the smile, that kids should be smiling and happy. And can you talk a little bit about that?
A child should be jumping up and down in mud puddles, you know, putting frogs in purses, throwing their parents' cell phone in the toilet. They should be a kid. What they shouldn't be is, when they hear the garage door up, is run in their closet and lock it. When they're in bed at night, when they hear footsteps, they shouldn't be huddling under the blankets and shaking. But it happens. It happens all the time. You know, you were there at Child Help. You saw exactly what cases that came in. It's a terrible thing. So what we want to do is, in their moment of sadness, because honestly, we have them for this much time, and I know it's radio, but I'm holding up my fingers in an inch. Very small amount of time. And I wasn't impacting that child. Sure, we were arresting the bad guys.
We're taking care of the judicial process of it.
Judicial
not
process.
The advocacy process.
Yes, the cold, this, here, here's your victim's advocate. I get the story. I go, you know, Fade picks up the bad guy. We interrogate. We book. They're done.
Prosecute.
But what have I done for this child while they were with me? Nothing. So what? This small window when I ask them, and now I've taken pictures with all my superheroes because we have over 120 superheroes now in Heroes United. So when I'm having trouble talking to a child and I find out they like Spider-Man, I'm like, if I show you a picture of Spider-Man and me, what would you think? You don't know Spider-Man. So I'll show them a picture of one of my cosplayers in Spider-Man, and we're best friends. They absolutely believe I know Spider-Man, and now they're talking to me.
And there's nothing more timely with the success of the Marvel movies. It really is the perfect marriage, isn't it?
It really is. And to see a child change instantly, that they're looking at their feet, they're hiding behind their mom, and we give them an Iron Man action figure, they scream, Iron Man! And they'll take it out of the box and run around the building with it. I mean, it changes them instantly. And simplicity is always the best answer.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Adults don't do that. Children do.
Yeah.
You could give a child a box, and it's not a box. It's the Game of Thrones castle. And they play in it, and they see themselves as a knight, and you put a bed sheet around their neck, they see themselves as Superman. And that's the simplicity of what we do. And it works. It absolutely works.
I found it worked when I was in The Silent Witness. And as a director, I was looking at trying to grow our, our voice out there. You know, it's all about, you know, maybe Silent Witness, but it's that Silent Witness voice helping solve crimes for the community. And I found that Comic-Con was the perfect conduit for that voice because they're want to be crime fighters.
Exactly.
It's all about solving crimes.
It is. And, you know, I like to use the parable also of the little boy on the beach with the starfish. I'm sure everybody's heard that brief story. Storm washes up millions of starfish. Someone sees a little kid tossing the fish back into the ocean. And they ask him what he's doing, and he said, I'm saving these starfish. And he goes, look at all these starfish. You'll never make a difference. And he picked another one up, threw it in the ocean, looked at the guy, and said, I made a difference for that one.
That's it.
When the kids come into the advocacy center, can I solve all the problems in the country? No, but I can solve that, and I can help that child. And that's the way you have to address it, or quite honestly, you'll lose your mind.
It's overwhelming.
You can't do it.
Yeah, you don't look at a marathon and think, you know, the 10,000 steps. You think about that first step.
Right. And the event we're doing in Michigan in September is for Sparrow Hospital, which is the Phoenix Children's Hospital of Michigan. And they heard about what we're doing, and I reached out to a Michigan cosplay group, and they're all in. I mean, they're all in to expand over into Michigan.
For those people listening that are thinking, I want to be all in, how do they get a hold of you?
www.putonthecape.com. It's our website. You can see our schedule of events. Putonthecape52@gmail.com is our email address. We're looking for sponsors. We're looking for people who just want to do in-kind donations of new in-the-box superhero action figures and Barbies and T-shirts with still the tags on them because that's how the advocacy centers need to take them. And if you just want to donate, there's a donate it a button that goes right to our PayPal account. You can make a difference. $5 will get a child an action figure. You know, and signing up for the 5K, it's $35. That will get an action figure, a shirt, pair of pants, shoes, and some food for one child who comes to see us. And that's when you know you've done something. Because this isn't just going up to the sky. We hit our board of directors is all voluntary. Heroes United is all voluntary. We take no money. All the money goes to the kids, as it should. And we're asking people to put on the cape and be a hero to a child who deserves one, because they do.
If there is one point in this journey early on where you had that aha moment of, oh my gosh, this isn't just working, this is beautiful, can you share that one moment, if there was one?
There wasn't. I'm getting chills just thinking about it.
I knew there would be.
I know. This was so powerful because the first year we didn't know what we were doing. Obviously, we're just throwing things. We had 3 weeks to plan it. We had no idea what it was going to be. And I was wondering toward the end of September, did I make a difference? And a child came in from another jurisdiction. She was 7 years old. She had just been sexually assaulted by her uncle. She hid under a chair in the lobby when her mom tried to get her, because there's a playroom at Child Hope where the kids go to play and relax a little bit.
Big tree.
She wrapped herself around her mom's leg, and her mom literally had to drag her to get her into the playroom. When she got in there, she ran and hid behind a beanbag chair. There were other kids playing in there. So I went in, and I asked one of the playroom attendants if we had any capes left, because people donated capes and cowls. And she said, I think we have one. And it was a pink Barbie cape with a little pink Barbie mask. And we put that on this little girl who was
literally hiding.
She was hiding. She had her arms wrapped around her knees. Her knees were to her chest. put it around her neck and put the mask on her. Within a second, she jumped up, raised her hands in the air, said, I'm a superhero, ran towards the other kids and said, I'm going to save all of you.
Oh.
It changed that child instantly. And again, as adults, when we hear hoofbeats, we think of horses. When kids hear hoofbeats, they think of zebras. They think differently than we do. They always want to go to the unicorn and the superhero and the princess and the saving somebody from danger. And that's what that did for that little girl. So I said, aha.
It is working.
It works. And so we just
firsthand.
Yeah. And I've been approached by therapists who are in tears saying these kids just, they don't open up until they see a superhero action figure on my desk. And we talk superheroes for the whole session. And when they leave, they think they're superheroes. Yeah, I know. I know. So to be validated like that is wonderful. And again, if I can just change one life and make one child and family better off because I did this and my team did this, then it was worth it.
And one last time, what is the point of contact if someone's listening thinking, you know, I need to get involved. I want to get involved. I have something I can provide, and it could be in something thinking outside the box. Where do they go?
They can send us an email at putonthecape52@gmail.com, and our website is putonthecape.com. And you can see our events. You can donate to our foundation. It's all tax deductible, and it will get to an advocacy center and save a child.
I could talk to you hours and hours and hours.
We do that, don't we?
We do. Well, that ends it for that segment. So stay tuned for our next segment. We'll be right back, everybody.
More stories, inside guests, and true blue humor coming up on Batch Boys. We'll be back right after this.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Move over, AZ. Arizona's move over law requires you to move over or slow down when you drive past any vehicle pulled over with flashing lights. Remember, every vehicle, every time. Move over, AZ.
Sponsored by ADA in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Batch Boys with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Now, back to the Batch Boys.
Well, that was a wonderful Cop Talk segment. We're back. This is normally the segment where we do the heroic headlines. We do the stupid suspect stories extraordinaire. And then, of course, Jason's inspirational close, which is one of my favorite parts. But we agree that we're going to forgo our normal closing segments and the stupid suspect stories because we have a really, truly heroic individual in our presence right now. This is the perfect heroic headline. I know you know, Jason, that I'm involved with the Crime Fighting Cave, and that's where I get to have so much fun with a child with some type of need for a smile, is how I like to call it. At first, it started out with a child with a life-threatening condition, then became a life-challenging condition, but I like to think of it as a child that is really an almost dire need of a smile. He needs a smile, and so does that family. And I started 5 years ago. I emcee the tours, which is self-serving because I have so much fun doing it and connecting with these children. But I also got to do the director of security. I got to kind of work with the policies and get some training from my child crimes background. And with all that, I tell you, it is just one of the best places, best-kept secrets. So we have with us Erica Cowell, who is the mother of the Crime Fighting Cave. She is actually the operations director. Am I getting that right?
Yep, I'm the executive director.
Thank you. And again, before I even say thank you for being on the show, thank you for everything you do with Colton Cowell and that Crime Fighting Cave. It is truly, truly remarkable. For those who may be living in a cave, can you tell us what the Crime Fighting Cave is?
Absolutely. So we bring in children who are facing significant life challenges. Whether, like you said, it be lifelong illness, terminal illness, children with disabilities, children of fallen officers. You said it best, Darren, just a kid who really needs a smile. So they get to come in, and I say we give them a superhero experience. They get to be the superhero for the evening, and they get to come along with 20 to 30 of their friends and family who are there just to celebrate them. And it is a night of magic and surprises that culminate with a ride in the world-famous Batmobile.
And we're talking the iconic, and maybe I'm dating myself, we're talking Adam West, 1966 circa, Batmobile that we all think of, because in the movies, the other Batmobile changes constantly. But we're talking that original classic automobile, aren't we?
Absolutely. You know, everything in the crime-fighting cave is based off of the 1966 Adam West Batman. And that's because the founder has decided that, well, as anyone knows, there's no darkness to the Adam West Batman. He is fun. It's fun, campy humor that is good for anyone from 2 to 20, or, I mean, obviously, and then into adulthood.
And 102. Yes, yes.
But, you know, the kids aren't, the newer Batmans can sometimes be dark, and younger kids are
very
scared
dark
of that. And so this is just all fun. And even if they've never seen the Adam West Batman, everybody knows that Batmobile. I mean, it is.
It truly is iconic.
It truly is iconic.
Now, you mentioned the founder, Charles Keller. How did you meet him? Can you tell us a story how that all occurred?
Absolutely. So back in 2009, my husband and I, our youngest son, was fighting leukemia. And we had ended up in Tucson for a bone marrow transplant. And after being there a couple months, we learned that his cancer was back and it was just time for him to be sent home on a hospice. Once we got home and settled in with the other five kids, I got a phone call from Colton's wish granter, who said she happened to know a guy who had a Batmobile. And would it be okay if he came over to just bring some fun to
this
the night?
This was just out of the blue.
Just out of the blue. She was, Colton never got his full Make-A-Wish trip, and she just wanted to do everything she could for him and our family before he passed away. And at the time, in all honesty, at the time, I was so tired.
Aww,
there, and I went, you know, my immediate answer was, oh, I just am not up for it. And she said, come on, Erica, your family needs this. And I went, you know what, you're absolutely right. Bring him. Well,
how old was Colton?
Colton was 3.5 at the time. And my other kids ranged from 6 to 12. So Charles came with the Batmobile. He brought Santa. They brought presents. I mean, it was a night of magic. You know, Santa Aww. Came in. He had presents for all the kids. He did magic tricks and everything. And so at the end of all of that, Charles brought my husband Earl out and said, Earl, I want you to take your son for a spin in the Batmobile.
Aww.
Well, I know at the time, Colton, as you can imagine, had been on all sorts of medications and steroids, and he was just miserable, swollen. Not a happy
Bless
kiddo
his
at
heart.
This time. So we get him strapped into the Batmobile, and my husband takes him for a spin. And by the time they get back, he is signing go and more and laughing Aww. And smiling. And it was truly a transformation. He transformed from a kid who was fighting cancer to a kid who was just having fun with his dad.
Smiling, happy.
I didn't know it at the time, but that was a pivotal moment for Charles where he realized exactly now what it was he needed to do with his Batmobile that he had just happened to buy so he could take his kids to Dairy Queen.
Yeah, we're talking car collector.
Yeah.
Extraordinaire.
Him and his boys had been watching the old Batman, so he just bought this not knowing what he would do with it. Yeah, absolutely. So
he's Bruce Wayne.
He's Bruce Wayne.
Thank you.
So that was a moment for him that I didn't realize that had been happening. And then, and it was about 2 years later, I obviously had had a lot going on. Colton passed away just 2 weeks after his night in the Batmobile. So we were just surviving as a family. And I decided it was time to go through all of my pictures and just get them in order. I'm a picture person. And so I was cataloging all of my photos into photo albums, and I came across all of the pictures from that night, and I realized that in that entire year of heartache and stress and hospitals, that was the one night where everybody was happy. And I realized at that moment I needed to let Charles know what that meant to us.
I got goosebumps.
Well, and it still gives me goosebumps because that I didn't know that we needed those memories at the time.
You're just living day to day.
I was just surviving.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly. And so I reached out to him and said, I just need you to know that you gave us a night of happiness when we had had nothing but sadness. And I'm forever grateful. And believe it or not, I heard back from him. And he said, Erica, you have to see what I'm doing now all because of your son.
Aww.
And so he brought me down to what would turn into the world famous crime fighting cave. And he said, this is what I'm doing. I'm building this so we can host families just like Colton. and your family, and I would love if we could name it after your son. And I went,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, that just gave me chills.
I'm like, absolutely, as long as I can be part of it. And he hasn't been, I always say he hasn't been able to get rid of me ever since. So I volunteered from that day on. I wanted to be able to bring those happy memories to families like mine who I knew desperately needed them. So we've been doing it ever since.
5 years ago when I met Charles on another radio show, and he was talking about the Batmobile and a crime fan cave, and I didn't know him from anyone. And, of course, he's, you know, preaching to the choir with me, being just an old geek. I just fell in love with everything he's talking about. You know, I'm saying, holy mackerel! You know, and just really, and so he says, you need to come down, Darren. So I saw it, and what we have for you, the listening audience, is a large warehouse where the very first part, you kind of have this tongue-in-cheek, almost like a Universal theme park tour, kind of like, where it's kind of interactive with the children. It's the one nominated child with all his friends. No, I shouldn't say all, because, but his best friends, because, you know, it's the crime-fighting cave with the Batmobile. And it starts off with a tongue-in-cheek. It ends going down the bat poles and the robin poles. And then you go into the actual crime-fighting cave. And this one time as a adult, you tell the kids, touch everything. So there's a button, push it, a knob, turn it, switch, throw it, touch everything, enjoy. And their eyes touching all these incredible gadgets. And they see the Batmobile. They see it. They don't know anything yet. And then they see the Batcopter, they see the Batcycle, they see the Batboat. It's just amazing. And yet, it's getting bigger, isn't it?
It is getting bigger. So to date, we have had over 410 families come through. And I guess I should add that, you know, at the end of the night, one part of our mission statement is we like to teach children
to give.
To give. You know, just that giving can be fun. That's the reason Charles started all this, is because he wanted to be able to give back, but he wanted to have fun doing it. And so at the end of the night, we present the child with two checks to pass on to two charities that have helped them through their journey. And so to date, we have had 410 kids come through, and they have given more than $1.3 million to 200 children's charities. So, I mean, they are making a huge difference, and we are busting at the seams. I mean, you know that. You're there. And so it's getting bigger. So we have purchased 5 acres, just about a half a mile from where we are, and the plans are drawn, and they're with the city now, and we are going to be building a brand new 25,000-square-foot freestanding crime-fighting cave, complete with a track around it to drive the Batmobile on.
I love that.
I know. I think it's going to... I mean, it's going to be amazing. You know, we're making a difference for these kiddos. We can't, I can't cure cancer. I can't do anything.
And there's organizations that do that, but there's not many organizations that are dedicated to putting a smile on a child's face, and more importantly, allowing the parents to see that child happy, genuinely happy. And not for a moment, not for a second, but it's like a 2.5-hour tour that these children go through.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I hear from the parents down the road. I mean, I keep in contact with lots of them, and they say, hey, they still talk about it every day. And every child at the end of the evening gets a key to the Batmobile with the promise that when they turn 16, they can come back, and instead of their parent driving them, they can drive their parent. And I can tell you right now that all 410 kids that are still with us know exactly where their Batmobile key is, and they are counting down the days to their 16th birthday. So, I mean, even though it's one evening, it instills them with, you know, hope for the future and memories that last a lifetime.
Yeah, that spirit of Batman Award, when we give it to the children and say with a promise that when you blah, 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 and it gives them something to look forward to. And nothing against great organizations like Make-A-Wish, but when the event is over, I hear many times that the children go through a little bit of a depression period because they've been looking forward so long to something. Well, your, you know, children keep looking forward to something when they go to school, when they get that license, they come back. And when the new cave is built, there's this comment about having them come back. You've seen these children over and over. It's not just that one night. Is that correct?
Absolutely. That is correct. And we're actually even working on introducing some additional program. You know, I think of these families as my family now. You know, I see Colton live on in every kid that comes through the cave, and even myself through the family's eyes. And so we are trying to form more of a family with these people and invite them back to the cave more often. And I'm telling you what, the grand opening in the new cave is going to be phenomenal because we're going to invite back all of our families so that they can just have a blast.
And with that in mind, a couple of questions. One is, if there's someone out there listening, how do they get involved if they want to help with the creation of this cave, if they want to be a sponsor, if they want to just get involved and learn more, where can they go to learn more about it and possibly assist with this creation? Because it is a nonprofit.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we're a 501c3 and we are looking for, you know, we're getting ready to break ground. We're looking for builders and contractors and just people who can help us get the word out and be a part of what we're calling building the monument to compassion.
Oh.
You know, I would say our website, ColtonCowellFoundation.org, is a great place.
And spell that for those like me who are, yeah,
well,
illiterate.
And everyone's, it's ColtonCowellFoundation.org. Or, you know, they can email me at Erica at Colton, E-R-I-K-A. At ColtonCowellFoundation.org.
And then the other question I have for you, there may be someone listening that has a child or an individual. What is the criteria and how would they go about it?
So we actually work with about 15 nonprofits in the Valley, and they're the ones who identify the children and nominate them. That's not to say that you have to be affiliated with a nonprofit to get through. Again, the best way would be to email me. I believe on our website you can even find a way, you know, there's a tab to nominate a child, but emailing me is the best bet. And I can find out what charities you may have worked with and reach out to them and get them nominated.
And for anyone else listening that just wants to help out, it is a nonprofit. They could give. You have events like Coins for the Cave. You have different fundraising events. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So we do an annual Coins for the Cave that was started by a kiddo who came through and wanted to give back. He really understood the part of, you know, giving back. And so we've been doing that. This is our fourth annual we're doing. And, you know, we encourage people to just fill mason jars or to go online to buildthecave.org and fill a digital jar or a virtual jar with a $20 donation. Or just go online and make a donation. And we're always also looking for new volunteers. It's a fun place. You know that. I know
love
that.
It. I love it.
And everyone who comes through knows that. So, you know, besides needing help with building the cave and funding the cave and all of that kind of stuff, we also love to share what we do with people. So we love to have new volunteers come in and be a part of an evening.
And speaking to you volunteers, every Thursday I get to drive the Batmobile. That's right. I drive the Batmobile and get to look at this young boy and girl and the smile. They're just priceless. It really is. There's no amount of money that you could put on that.
You know, I read once and kind of it's my mantra for what we do, that joy is a miracle drug. And, you know, while we can't cure cancer, joy really does make a difference in these kids' lives. And they do forget what they're going through. You know, it doesn't matter what they have. They forget all about it. And they are just a normal superhero for the evening. And I do think, I just want to mention too, we have just as many girls come through as boys.
Yes.
This is, yeah. You know, first of all, girls love superheroes too.
Well,
Halal.
Hey, Batman's sidekick is named Robin. It doesn't mean that it has to be a guy,
you.
Right?
Thank you.
That's right. Well, and really, the Batman piece, while critical, is a small part of it because truly the only superhero in that room is a child who is going through the significant life challenge. So yeah. Whether it's a boy or a girl, they're the superhero.
It's all about them that night, mm-hmm. that special night for them. Well, Erica, I can't thank you enough for everything you've done and taking a tragedy of sadness and turning into such a beautiful monument to compassion. That wraps up for our heroic headline.
Wait a second.
Oh, please.
Before you go,
yes.
Robin's going to reach into her bat utility belt and see if I can find something. See?
I love this. This literally sings to my heart.
Gotta have a little fun with it once in a while.
Yes, yes. You are the ultimate. You are the ultimate. Well, that wraps it up.
Been an awesome time, Darren.
I love shaking your hand each week, my friend.
It's just incredible. Thank you all so much, and we will see you next week.
Batch Boys.
Thanks for listening to Batch Boys. Stories, insights, guests, and true blue humor with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Batch Boys, heard weekly and worldwide on Star Worldwide networks and all mobile devices. Batch Boys.